So we do this in English because we have Sasha there and you have this guy here and probably a couple more. I'm Miguel, Rafael, I'm from Teotihuacan. Some of you know us, some of you don't. So let's go, I'll introduce us. This will be my presentation. As you can see, it's shit, but it's my presentation, so you gotta love it. I'll go through who is Teotihuacan, where do we come from, who are these fuckers? Just move.
More are coming, yeah.
Just, yeah, people, this is the good one. This is the good presentation. Let's do this. One of us. Well, what games we made, we're going to talk about Greedy Guns, and then I'm going to do a massive rant on something. It can be something. I'm going to do the massive rant, and you want to be there here for this. So who is Teotihuacan? Teotihuacan is three people. Fons Cordeiro, who's our programmer and resident Bear Grylls. He's like the muscle man. He kills animals for us. There's Miguel Sintra, sound designer, composer. He's actually a sushi chef as well. The other thing is stupidity. And Miguel Rafael, which is me. I'm the designer artist. I do the social Facebooking, all that lovely thing. And I do some exotic dance as well, just for the money. And this is where we work, actually. This is the living room. Miguel now has his computer there. I work here. Afonso works there. And we all live here. It's a mess. Let's go. So this is the story of how we all got together. So in 2011 or something, Ed and Afonso, Ed is our housemate, they rented a flat. And I lived like 5 minutes ago with my girlfriend at the time. Then we broke up. And then I fucking moved because I was lonely. And where did I go? To live with Afonso and Ed. Then we were three. And eventually, Miguel Sintra had a heartbreak as well, so he kind of moved the computer inside, like, to our living room, and now it's like three devs living in a house, and one extra working there, like, full time. So it's like sausage fest, dev house, making games. That's what we love. This is our background. We came from Game Invest. Afonso started in 2008. Up until 2011, we did like all sorts of games, puzzle adventure games. We did World of Zillions, which is a strategy game. Isteria Hospital went for Wii and DS. Afonso worked on it for the Wii. So we have some background. We did this until 2011. Then, somewhat during that time, we did Fake Pup with a friend of ours, and we made two games while at Fake Pup for mobile. So Super Bit Dash and Snowball Smash. They were pretty good for us. Snowball Smash was actually featured by Apple at the time, like best some winter games or something. And Super Bit Dash is still huge. It's like 700 downloads on Google Play every day, so fuck you. And then we went to Miniclip, because Miniclip said, hey, you can do mobile games? Yeah, we've done a couple, it's all right. And so we went there and we did Minipets, which is like a big, one of those zoo games, you tap the animals, you get the money, tapping animals. Monster Island, a ton of other games. Afonso worked on The Lorax, you know The Lorax, that movie, Warner Brothers, he did the game for that at Miniclip. And we were there until 2011, and then we thought, we can stay here forever, we can go work someplace else, or we can just do this and start making games like full time, and we did. We got out of the house. This is really compressed. I don't know why, but it's okay. And we made Teotihuacan. We created Teotihuacan, which was our first, like, it was our serious kind of thing. Now we're going full time making games. And this is serious, yeah. This is us being serious. Teotihuacan has been live since 2012. We made five games so far. They're all like iOS, Android games. You can download them for free. It's amazing. All great games. I'll go through them like one at a time because we actually made these games in a very short time, I think, because we made like five games in a year and a half and we just kept making them. We just finished one, we started doing another and then another and then another. And it's like the first one was Fruit Monkeys. We did like this super simple one-tap game. Anyone play this? Yeah, of course, it's amazing. And we did this, and we put all the bells and whistles for like the in-app purchases, and we're really, oh, this is going to be the game. We're going to make this game, and it's going to make a lot of money, and we can make that one game we want to make. You know, every independent developer, every indie developer wants to make the game, their dream game, although we never know what dream game is because we never start the game, so we're always, it's like, whatever, we'll make the dream game after this one because we'll get the money. And so we looked at our spreadsheets and said, are we rich yet? And the answer was, no, we weren't. So now what? We made the first game, we're still not rich. What are you going to do? We'll make another. Immediately we just start making another, fuck it. And we went, bloody epic. Let's make it a bit different, you know, simple, hardcore-ish. It had like 40 levels, you kill stuff all the time. Plenty of stuff to buy so you can get the money, you know, the in-app purchases. And then eventually, after this one, we can make our dream game. Our indie dream game, the one that we all want to make and we don't know what it is. And so we just check out the balances, you know, check the spreadsheets and asked, are you rich yet? And the answer was, no. And we thought, well, now what? And well, we'll make another, because that's what we do. And so we just started making another one. We wanted to go back to basics, you know, just a casual game, because casual games, you know, they make the money. You know, casual games make the money. Simple tap game was really quick to develop. We did it like 2 months or something. I don't even know. That's like, yeah, math. It had like some in-app purchases because we want to make the monies, you know, get the cash, get the money to make that very specific game, that dream game that every indie developer dreams of, that I dreamed of. And so we went back to, are you rich yet? And the answer was, it was no. And now what? Well, this time we kind of thought, well, take it easy. We'll make another! And we did. We just jumped off and we made Baseball Jam really quick. It's like, this is like 3 days development, but still, just go quick. And this was super quick to develop. We just put like one in-app purchase because we thought, well, we just needed a lot of games. Because if you have a lot of games, you just get a lot of small revenue, but it's like a lot. Small, right? It just adds up. You know how it goes? It's like you add 10 times and it gives 100, right? That's how it works. It's like, isn't it? It is. And we tried like the baseball thing because it had that the seasonal kick, you know? Every time there's a baseball season starting and ending, and we do get the spikes, it's nice, but it's not. Well, are we rich yet? No, we're not. So, Noah, you guessed it, right? We made another. We just made another. That's what we did. We in between, we did some stuff. We kind of updated Superbit Dash or updated Fruit Monkeys, but it was always like a small little thing. We're always chasing that game, you know? That game that put us over the edge, make us like enough money so we can make the dream game. Because that's all we want to do is the dream game. So we went to Mind Maze, our first game in Unity. It was our first puzzle game. It was fairly quick to develop. It just had some in-app purchases. You get more levels. And it was really fun, actually, to make, because we've never made a puzzle game or a game in Unity. And this went really well. People really liked it. They played it a lot. And finally, we were like, are we rich yet? And the answer was, no, we weren't. Now what? And we just went, no. And that's what we did. We said, no, we're not doing another, just straight up. We're going to think about it. And we want to do something else. We want to climb this pile of mobile stuff and stop thinking about the mobile promise, the casual promise, the game that will just flip it and make us like all super freaking money makers and we can make the perfect dream game. Forget about that. We want something else. But it's just three. So what can we do? We have five games. Three people, how can we make the dream game? It's like, what dream game can we make? It's like, we can't make Mirror's Edge. We're not going to make, I don't know, maybe Sonic the Hedgehog we could, but I don't know. We're not going to make a massive game, so what? So it's time for mock-ups. It took a while, we sat down, instead of just racing towards the other one, the other mobile game that would make us the money, which is calmed down and we started making mock-ups. Maybe we could do a Dungeon Keeper kind of game in 2D. Maybe a parkour game, like 2D, jump around, do stuff, and jump, you know, run. Because that's what parkour is all about. It's crap, but some people like it. Yeah, Alfonso loves it. Maybe a slasher game where you get the little things and it has physics, and maybe that. Maybe you can do something more dungeony. We did like a ton of mock-ups, and maybe even a brawler like Streets of Rage with chibi characters. You punch the guys, you kill them, you stab them. All fun and games, you know, very wholesome, very nice. We couldn't decide, so we thought, what do we want to do? I personally wanted to make a connected world, you know, like Metroidvania or maybe a Cave Story, where not having all the levels just one by one, where you just progress, like, and they don't fit necessarily. I just want to make something, as a designer, really pushes me towards something. Oh, he's going away. That's the walk of shame. Ooh.
Everybody that goes away gets the walk of shame.
We wanted to do something really action-packed. No more casual stuff. No more, oh, I have to think about it. No, just plenty to shoot at. And we thought about doing like 36. Oh, that's okay. But, aiming all around, just shooting and whatever. And so we thought, well, let's just mash it up. Against Our Heroes meets Cave Story. Let's do that. Because it's the worst idea possible, is to mash up great games and try to make them work, but that's what we did because we're smart. That's what we do. And we did this mock-up and we said, well, yeah, we can do this. It's like, yeah, got cool guys shooting guns. It's got the whole Cave Story kind of, well, it will have. If you play the demo, it doesn't, but all the dialogues and you explore the world. And so we thought, yeah, let's do this. Let's put some time into it. Let's forget about the quick game, the just adding games to our library and just make greedy guns. And that's how it all began. And we finally started, well, working on the dream game, I guess. No money, or some money, but not like, oh, we got the money to actually do the perfect project. We just, well, we went for greedy guns, fuck it. And, oh, I have to play a video now. Because you may want to know what greedy guns is all about, right?
Whoa.
What? It's doing something. Like Minority Report here, but it's still missing two. Come on. Oh, fuck you. Yeah. So this is for, feedback. This is for those that didn't see the game. This is the game. Man, that's it. Underwhelming. Woo! So it used to look like this. Not that pixelated. I have no idea what this is. This is LibreOffice. Microsoft, if you want, you can just give me a copy of Office so I can actually use PowerPoint. Because we're really poor. Come on, just. This is LibreOffice, man. This is open source crap. And then it looked like this, and now it kind of looks like this. So we've been working on it for like 6-7 months, yeah. And it's building up. It's finally like we're building a game. And up until now, we've been doing chasing the promise of the mobile game, the thing, you know, the casual moneymaker. And we never actually built the game. We just made it, and it was good. It worked. People had fun with it. But this is the first time we're actually building and creating a world and realizing that there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And these were like our first challenges. We never made like tile sets, and it's hell. I hate it. I'll never do it again until the next game, at least. Animating using Spline. And this is one of the first things you have to consider when you're making a game, is just see what you can't do yet, and you have to learn. Because you'll have to learn shit while you go. And this was all we had to learn to make, like making a tile set, animating using Spline, making a platformer, making the world look coherent, which is hell on earth. It had to be scalable. It was awful. So there's like a ton of challenges in making a platformer. It's like the controls have to be super tight. It's hell. It's awful. I love it. Because you have to balance all the weapons versus the enemies. You have to have time and lean locks, so you can't have like super powerful weapon in the beginning. You have to tweak the jumping and the running times a million. And the last bullet point is like the levels. If you ever made a level-based game, you know this is fucked up. You play a game and it's amazing, but making levels is fucking hard work. I have no idea how they work. None. And I'm still trying to learn, but I'm getting there. These look like shit. Another of our really difficulties was making a coherent world. I have no idea that artists had this much trouble. Because when you make a small game, like a mobile game, imagine we're making like Mad Men Drop or one of those games that we made. It's really simple. It's just one little concept, and it's just easy enough. But when you're saying, oh, I want to make an alien world, you're fucked. Because what's an alien world? It's like, it has to be alien, but it can't be too alien. Otherwise, people won't recognize like vegetation or rocks. It will all seem just crap. Like, so I had to make a ton of sketches. I've never thought being a concept artist would be this much trouble. If I knew, I would stay the mobile, making crappy games. No, never make crappy games, just good enough. This is the thing. It's what do aliens look like? It's like, I don't even know. All the aliens and greedy guns have like one eye, and I try to give them some coherence there, because they all come from the same gene pool. And then I have to ask all these questions, like, is there sentient life? If there is, what are their artifacts? How do they build stuff? Do they build like by bricks, or do they kind of bolt them together? Because that, you have to think about these things, and we never did, because until now, we never made a game that actually had a world, or people in it or stuff. We made Bloody Epic, but that's just kind of medieval fantasy generic stuff. It's just, yeah, you have a sword, you have like medieval village, and you kill shit. Aliens are tough, man. And levels, how do you make levels coherent? It's hard. Another challenge was how to manage content, because there's so much stuff. It's like, you have the enemy. We knew that we were going to use some type of like spreadsheets, and we use Excel, Google Docs. But we don't have Excel, so we're poor. It's free. Oh, Microsoft overlords, I'm sorry. And how to manage content, because we have to manage all the enemy stats, the weapon stats, the levels made. If you ever want to make a game with levels, this is really important, just every level you make, you have to put it in a spreadsheet, because you'll take it out of the game eventually. And someday you might want it back. And then you don't know, which level was that had that thing that I wanted? And if you have the list, it's really good. I just toss them all there. And sometimes I just make a level just because I want to try something different. And I put it in the spreadsheet, and I know it's there, and I can find it later on. And I already have like 50 levels or 80 or something. And so we had to learn how to do all of this, because until now, we never like really had like a game where you connect through a world map and all that stuff. So plenty of challenges, and the hardest one of all was levels, because, Jesus, making a level-based game is horrible. It's horrible. Oh, here's a nice pixelated picture. I love LibreOffice. Oh, sign me up for more of this. I just made this nice list of level do's and don'ts for those that do want to develop a game or are developing a game and don't want to do the same mistakes we did. And this, for me, was like the most horrible part of all. It was just making the levels and finding these things one by one. The first one was, don't try to fit every level into the grand scheme. I know where I want to take greedy guns. I know what the narrative is going to be. But if doing level, am I already thinking, oh, I can't have this ability here because I want to unlock this ability after the second boss? You just won't move. You can't make a level and consider all these things. You just have to make them. You can't let like the world map constrain level making as well. It's like, oh, I want this level to be at the bottom of the map here. But when I'm here, I don't have this weapon or I don't have this ability. If you start kind of overthinking it, you will die. It will crush you. You have to just make levels, make a ton of them, and eventually just fit them in the places and then complete them, add stuff to them. You can't, and this is, yeah, this is something I learned while doing greedy guns, and hopefully you can take this home and do something with it. Maybe. Oh, there's Bob again, screaming. And now what for greedy guns? So now we have to close the first half hour until the boss fight and polish it insanely. Maybe an Indiegogo, get some cash, you know, get some of the indie cash, not the mobile cash, because we all know that money is in crowdfunding, right? That's where the money is at, I hope. Otherwise, I'll be doing another talk, another strange rant, incoherent talk like this, and say, well, we did Indiegogo. That wasn't it. And green light, obviously, finding publishing partners, I don't know, maybe. And finishing the game would be lovely. We always finished our games. We never left the game unfinished. We always finished the game, and we went straight for the next one. This is being hard, man. And this is actually it for the part about greedy guns. I'm sorry if I'm just going through a ton of stuff, but that's I'm like that. I can't focus very much. So I said this presentation had some parts, so I would introduce the Teotihuacan and our story. I would introduce greedy guns and what we're doing with it. And now I think it's time for the rant, maybe. Well, maybe. Let's see if it is. Oh, yeah. It's time for the rant. So let's go for the big catch. What's the rant? Oh, yeah. It's about this shit. Why should you make games in Portugal? This is like, really, really. I found this to be the best place in the freaking world to make games. And you go, oh, it's not. People here are dumb and ugly. So no, they're not. They're beautiful. We have like cheap everything. It's like, if you don't think housing is cheap here, try live in London. Oh, I'm going to Brighton. No, you're not. You're going to live on the streets. And here, we can, the three of us, can, me, Afonso, and Ed, we can all live in the same house and make games and whatnot. We don't make that much money, but we're just dividing rent, and it's good. It's sunny. There's beautiful people. If you see any typos, it's I'm terrible. And it's LibreOffice, so it doesn't have... but if Microsoft can get me like an office, it would be nice. I don't know, because it just came to Portuguese. And maybe some of you are like, oh, Portugal is crap, because everything is happening someplace else. This is actually a map of all the game conferences, the big ones. So you have PAX on that side, and GDC and Comic-Con, and Eurogamers, and GDC in Europe. There's like one in Portugal, but it's the Serious Games one in Algarve, like 2 years ago. I have no idea what it was. But, and this is true. This is like the worst part about making games in Portugal. It's like you go out the door and there's nothing. Just the desert, the void. But it's no excuse, brothers, because come on, we can do this. We can just, there's cheap flights for everyone. We can just get an easy jet flight. And just go to Eurogamer. Eurogamer is like you pay £15 for the entrance. It's 3 days. You can show your games there. We can go to GDC Europe, maybe, and just stand by the door and show our games like to people. Just, oh. Because, come on, we can go to GDC Europe. We don't have 800 euros to pay for the ticket. We can all go. Just rent the fucking bus, get our laptops, and go. Do it. It's not that far away. We just make this stuff, and we don't really think about it. But me and Afonso went to actually the cheapest, I think. It was the cheapest conference in Europe. It was called Amaze, and it was amazing. I don't even know how much that cost. Was it 40 euros or to get in or something? It was less. It was pathetic. We paid nothing, and we met amazing people there, and we showed our game for the first time, and it was really cheap. It was just Berlin. Berlin is cheap. And we went there, and we did it, and it was amazing. And two Portuguese guys just went there. So there's no excuses. We can make this. We can make this happen. We can make games in Portugal. And we can go to all the conferences we want, well, not all of them, GDC in the States. It's expensive. And I made this. So in case you actually want to do this, this is all you got to do. And you'll be wealthy like us. You'll be amazing like us. You'll have the T-shirts and... You'll show the game abroad, and people with accents will say, oh, that's a really good game. And you say, amazing. So just find a cheap festival or conference. Just book flights many months in advance, and it will be cheap. The same for housing. You can do this. It's like, oh, you pay 20 euros a night for 2 nights, and it's good. You don't sleep. You might even not sleep. If you go to a conference, just parties, cocaine, showing the games. You know, that's what GDC is all about. Make a list of people you want to meet. Just use Twitter to find them. Let the people see your games. And never say no to advice. This is like my conference quick list. But I'll give it to you when we go. Because we can go to Eurogamer. Anybody up for Eurogamer? Show the games? No, you want to go to Eurogamer, right? Okay, so there's one. Who else is going to Eurogamer with us? Oh, two. So I think Awesome is going. Oh, see? We can do this. With this many people, we can just rent a bus. So we just go. It's like the Venga bus for games. We just go. Go through the canal and do the thing. So there's always this excuse, this dumb excuse. Oh, I'm really broke. I don't have any money. It's like it's really expensive. If you're a student, you have money. If you're a student, you can just make money. You just go work for 2 months, and you make enough money to go to Berlin and stay there for half a month partying and showing your game. But if you're like a student that already works and has to take care of his dying grandmother and the cat that died, and you really don't have the money because you owe money at the casino there and they're always beating on your door, you really don't have the money, you always have the Facebook because you can't live without it. It's precious than water, more precious than water. So build a community. Let's do this. Come on. We're enough. There's like 400 developers under this building. I'm praying for it not to collapse, because otherwise all of Portugal, developers will be gone instantly. All the companies, the best of the best, just back to the Stone Age. So just find a community or make one. There's plenty on Facebook. There's two that I know of, PT game developers, PT. But if that's not enough for you, just make a local one. Create a group at campus. Create a group in your high school. Create a group, I don't know, with your dealer. Just something. Just find people that are interested. It's like, oh, I live in Coimbra. I can't go to the Lisbon events. Coimbra is a city. It has people. Just make it up. Just do a Facebook thing. Invite people. Show your game. Let's make this happen, you know? And this was the rant, I think. Let's see if there's any. No, this was the whole thing. So now you know TO2, now you know our game, and now you know why I think this is the best country in the Portugal to make games. And why you shouldn't move. You should make them here, and you should show them to people so we can make this happen, man. And that's it. So if anyone has any questions, I can answer. I don't know. Oh, Machine, let's go. Let's do this.
So you said to make a community with your dealer.
I did.
That's where the casual money went.
Yeah, we made a ton of it, but it just went straight to the performance enhancers.
But actually, you're my dealer, so can you make a community?
We can. We should make a community. We'll make this work. We'll just do the trading of services and performance enhancement. We can. We can make this. Okay. Let's not talk about dealing anymore, because I'm going to jail.
No office for you.
Any questions? Yeah, you can ask me anything, even about your love life. I'm really good at that. It's like our any love life, because our house is like Heartbreak Hotel. We know everything about broken hearts. No, seriously, anybody has any questions? Anybody wants to know anything?
Why T went to
me? Because we're dumb. No, we were thinking like maybe we can make an English sounding name. We had Fake Pub, which is really nice, but then we thought, come on, let's make this smell like chorizo, you know, and wine. But at the same time, not make it so cumbersome that a foreigner couldn't read it, so we didn't want like no C and H, no really hard like words, so any foreigner can say this. It will say it wrong, but doesn't matter, is it Tawatão or something. But we wanted a Portuguese name, because we have company, Rovio is like one of those Finnish words. I have no idea how we say it, Rovio. It's probably not that, but they have a Finnish sounding name in Mojang, Mohang, whatever. It's also a word from wherever they come from. And we thought, let's do this. Let's get a Portuguese sounding name. Let people ask about it. And make a fish with a mustache.
Why not Tio Bacalhau?
Then again, LH. It's a very hard, it would be hard for foreigners to go, while you read this. Yeah, you can read this, sort of. So that's it. This was because of our dealer, of the fish and stuff. Yeah, actually it was. It was the best. I used to work really close to Afonso's house. I was 5 minutes away. We rarely kind of got together because it's really nice to work at home alone. You work without trousers. You can browse the porn anytime you like when you're sad or lonely or horny or every time. You can just do it. You rock out with a cow all the time. But the thing is, it's really nice and it's all fun, but when you're together, it's like you have an issue, and instead of G-talking it or doing it, it's just, oh, this is broken, and he just points at it, it's broken because you're stupid, it's this. Oh, okay, fixed. And it's amazing, so it was really good. The living together and working at the same, like in the same space, has its issues, of course, because you wake up and there's a phone, so in his shorts already coding, and you're like, oh, I wanted to rest a bit, I want to see some cartoons, but now I feel I have to work. And I watch some cartoons with a feeling of guilt, and then I go and work. So you have to manage that. But apart from that, it's also cool because you wake up on a Saturday morning and you don't have to go to the office to work, you just do it there. Right. You do a bit, and that's also cool. So I don't have any complaints of working at home. It's really fun to work all in the same space. It has some issues, but because we all get along, it's just amazing. I don't want it any other way right now. I just, well, eventually an office with like this. This big with a big window. Like all of you working for us as interns so we can crush your souls for money. You know, all that. Just be all corporate, but right now we're cool.
No office still.
No.
No, just the free.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So just the Libre office. So any questions anymore? Just ask me something. Oh.
You touch,
I didn't touch anyone.
Okay, you talked a really deep question, I think it's a question, because we have two groups over there that you showed, PT developers and
that's
very good. And I think that, as you told, this is, on this building, probably that everybody is a developer. And most of us, has the problem that you have, that is how to be shown. And I think all of us over here should more join when we go to conferences, when we go to events, and try to be more. You talk. We have already discussed this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we, as you have talked, we all should more be Portuguese, because if we don't join together when we go to events, we should all get linked. Imagine if he goes to the conference, we all should go and to join forces, because if you go alone, as if you were alone on the
Amaze, yeah.
On the Amaze, no more Portuguese over there. Only you, and I think you are the only guy with
blue eyes.
Portuguese are white, something like that.
Yeah, we should do that more often, and if you see all the big successes in indie development and everywhere, like the guy that made what's his name, the Aquaria guy, he's living with somebody, and he did the Aquaria with the guy that made Spelunky, and it's like a whole mess. They all know each other and they're all really supportive. They make events, they make small events. Indiecade started like a small thing. They make things happen locally in their communities, in their hometowns, and then it just grows, and they look for each other. They look for not just the best of the best, they look for people they can relate to, and we should do that. If you're doing an RPG, like all MMO kind of stuff, don't talk to me. I know nothing about it. I don't even care about those games. If you're making like a retro shooting game, you should talk to me. I should talk to you. We should all learn, and we need to do that. We need to build these communities, even smaller communities. Just find the right people for you, because whenever you see an indie hit out there, or Tower Fall, it's just like, it wasn't luck. He was surrounded by amazing people that love making games, that lived with the guy. So come on, we have to do this. Otherwise, we'll just be kind of separated from reality, from our reality as game developers in Portugal, and even like reality abroad. We need to do this because we have to step up our game. We can make better games, but to make better games, we need to push each other, and we need to go out and see, wow, that guy is making an amazing mobile game of what sort? I'm making that sort of game, but is my good enough? And you talk with him, and you learn, and you feel that drive, and you try to do better. So that's why my rant was what it was. I want us to just meet and show the games and do more games and fuck up more and love each other more and whatever that implies. Everything. Should do it. And get together more and make even small communities. If you're in Coimbra, if you're in Leiria, why not make the small group of Leiria and make the gatherings there as well? Just even if it's five people, it doesn't matter. Show the game.
Yeah. About that, what happened to game dev meet together?
Oh yeah, we usually have these Lisbon game dev meeting, drinking, partying together. And we haven't had one in 3 months, since I think it was since April. So we're going to have one today. So it's announced. I'll put it on Facebook in a while. So whoever wants to go to Bairro Alto, and we'll go to Esteves. We'll be drinking in Esteves, all game dev people. So come along. That's it. I'll post it on Facebook as soon as I can. I'm fucked now. So it's happening today. Yeah, it's a special day, amazing day. It's a game dev in Bairro Alto. Who's going to Bairro Alto? Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to Bairro Alto. That's some more people. Come on, just drinking. If you go to Bairro Alto, I'll buy you a drink. Just, you, yes, you. Oh, yeah, you. Oh, okay. You don't need a drink. I just charge your electronic cigarette. Oh, fuck you. Any more questions? Oh, yeah, do it.
Okay, on a more serious tone now.
okay, let's try this.
Point being, you made 5 games in 1.5 years. That's
yeah.
Very impressive. Now you went into the route of making 1 game in 5 years.
I hope not.
We hope not. My question is, how did you schedule your milestones, your setup dates in your previous scheme of things, and how did it change into making greeting games?
Well, our milestones were always like, we should make this game in 3 days, in 3 months went by. Because it's always hard to make like milestones for a game. It's always bullshit. If you work at a big company, you know this. It's like, oh, we're making a milestone, everybody's doing the scrum, and you go, hey, this is not going to happen. It's not, it never does. It doesn't work. It's just a milestone, it's just, maybe we can make it through 2E3, and then suddenly, I don't know, what's that game from the guy, Shadow of Colossus, the Last Guardian? Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe we'll show a demo at E3. They didn't. There's fucking Sony, and they can't do it, let alone us. Nobody can. So the milestones are always like, we want to make this game in 3 months, and we end up doing it 5 months. So that's how it works. For Greedy Guns, it's even harder, because now we have 5 games already on the App Store and Android, Windows Phone. And it's always like we need to update it sometimes because, I don't know, some leaderboards are not working anymore because we had ASAP, now we need to put Google Play services or something. So it's really hard to make milestones because you never know. It's like, oh yeah, I want to get these features in Greedy Guns by the end of the month. And then suddenly, oh, we need to do this on Superbit Dash, so that takes 3 days away. And then if you do it on Superbit Dash, oh, well, we have to do it on all our games. And suddenly that takes some time. So there's always, we know we're going to finish the game by 2014. That's obvious because we know how we work. But when exactly? It's the gods know, the oracle, maybe. We should consult.
Just go with the flow.
That's all we can do. We could fake it, but I don't know any studio, no matter how professional they are, that can actually do it. They say, yes, we want to have this game by the second quarter. They're not. It's like, yeah, you want it, but you won't. You won't because you'll have ideas. And ideas are crap when you're making games. You don't want to have ideas, you just want to make the game, but you do. Then you put them, then they don't work, then it breaks. So it's not even, I don't even try for milestones. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So you had the publisher breathing on your down your neck.
Yeah, I worked in
Nikitoa. Okay. Yeah, okay. If you have a publisher and they kind of choke you, you can build the product. But when you're trying to, yeah, I think that's it. You can do it, and it's going to be very taxing for you, your health, your body. And we like to be healthy. Like the kiddies, this is Portugal. It's sunny, you know. If it's really sunny on an afternoon, we have to go to the beach. We can't just be coding. Come on, that's insanity. The game is just going to be delayed by an afternoon. It's okay. Take it easy. And I'll be talking about how we went bankrupt in next year. That's what I'll be doing. Or not. Or Greedy Guns will be amazing. What? Yeah, we do a lot of work in the winter because there's no snow, so we can't go snowing unless we go to some place where we can actually ski, you know? I would love to do that in the winter. So this is how we work. This is what we do. And maybe I can prove everyone wrong and we'll make Greedy Guns and it'll work out cool. And then we say, see, you don't have to work that hard. You can take it easy. We work a lot. We work on weekends as well, but We don't take it like to the insanity, oh, we have to do that milestone because the publisher is breathing on our neck, so we're going to work like 12 hours each day or 14 hours each day. That's no. Take it easy. And any more questions?
Just one more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and there's one in there. So you first, because he's, I know him.
Oh, fuck you. Okay. Were there any significant technology changes from making smaller games into a more fleshed out?
Yeah, probably. Like technical, like.
For instance, did you use any engine middleware? You said you started doing things on Unity with what was the name of?
Unity Toolkit, maybe, or Spine.
Okay. Is this the first project that's actually getting those new?
It was MindMaze already had. It didn't have Spine, but yeah, for this game we had to kind of think. First do some pre-production and kind of figure out all the tools we need, because we can't just hack it. We can just go, oh, let's go and figure it out while we go. It's too big. It's too big for us. It's three people. Come on. It's still making a pseudo-Metroidvania takes some time. So yeah, we had to try out Tiles and how Tiles would integrate with Unity. Tiles 2D tile editor stuff. We had to see how automapping worked. Yeah, there were significant changes, because if you're doing a small mobile game, levels maybe are not that big of a deal, and we never made a game with levels where they hadn't. Bloody Epic had some levels where it's just waves, so it's just a spreadsheet saying, oh, this guy at this time of day, so he comes at you. So, yeah, because we had levels, we had to think about that. We had to think about even doing templates for levels, so much stuff. And I don't even know, so much. Yeah, connecting things, having persistent stuff from one level to the other, saving the game. It's completely different. At least for the games we actually made before, it's a lot of new stuff, which is good. Finally, we get to grow a bit and do some. Well, we already did this stuff back at Game Invest, like saving game and all that stuff. But for our games, it's like the first time we're actually doing something this big. No, wait, Peter, you wanted to ask me something? Oh, come on. Oh, I'm not charging your e-cigarette anymore. You'll really? Oh, come on, man. You're an addict. I can talk with addicts. Yeah? Okay, so any more questions? No, I think. Because I love being here. I could do this all day. Microsoft could pay me to entertain you. If it could. So I think that's it. Thanks for listening to me. And you'll all get to play Greedy Guns eventually. So maybe in 1 month or two, you'll have the demo, and you can play it, and you can all give us feedback. Just look us up, find us on Facebook and all that. I also have a Tinder, so if you see me on Tinder, just you swipe right. Swipe right. The ladies only. Oh, there's so few ladies, and one's married. So that leaves you. If you see me on Tinder, you know, swipe right. And that's it. Thanks, guys.